Good morning. Let's turn our Bibles to Daniel chapter 7. Now in Daniel chapter 7, he had a vision. He had a vision of four beasts. One of them, he said, describes and looks like a lion. A second looks like a bear. And a third looks like a leopard. And because he was having a vision somewhere up in heaven, he was using the word, "it looks like," because that was the only thing he could identify with on earth. The four beasts, he had no idea what it looked like, so he just rather describe it. However, as he continues watching, we are going to look at verse 13. And it reads, "In my vision at night I looked, and there before me was one like a son of man, coming from the clouds of heaven. He approached the Ancient of Days and was led into his presence." Now, if you have footnotes, it may say something like the Aramaic phrase for son of man is Ba'inash, which means human being. So while Daniel was looking, he saw someone that looked like a human being, a son of man. And in Daniel trying to explain it, that was the best he could come up with. But this son of man, or this person who looked like a human being, in verse 14 it continues, "He was given authority, glory, and sovereign power. All nations and peoples of every language worship him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that will not pass away, and his kingdom is one that will never be destroyed." We also see the phrase "son of man" mentioned again in Ezekiel chapter 2 verse 1. "He said to me," that is God, "son of man, stand up on your feet and I will speak to you. As he spoke, the spirit came into me and raised me to my feet, and I heard him speaking to me." Again, if you check the footnotes for "son of man," they said the Hebrew phrase "Ben Adam" means human being. So twice it's mentioned in the Old Testament, son of man as human being. Ba'inash, human being. Ben Adam, human being. Son of man, human being. However, in the New Testament, the expression "son of man" appears 81 times. And today, we are going to look at the Son of Man. So join me today as we begin this series and continue on Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Almighty God, we thank you for this morning, and we thank you that you have given us so much. We pray that as we continue into the scriptures and we get deeper in scriptures, that we're able to learn, we're able to apply, and we're able to have some knowledge and a better understanding of you as time goes by. We pray that today you just be with us and help us to understand your word. Be with me as I preach and teach at this time. I thank you for all those who are listening, and I pray that their ears are attentive to your scriptures. I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. So as I said, son of man. Let's look at Matthew chapter 16, reading from verse 13 to 16. It says, "When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, 'Who do people say the Son of Man is?' They replied, 'Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others, Jeremiah or one of the prophets.' 'But what about you?' he asked, 'Who do you say I am?' Simon Peter answered, 'You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God.'" Well, if from the Old Testament, the Son of Man is human being, it might sound as if Jesus is asking, who do people say human being is, or human being? But they understood that when he said the Son of Man, it was referring to someone. That's why they said John the Baptist, Elijah, or Jeremiah. And they understood, well, it has to be someone else or somebody. But then in the same conversation, Jesus said, but what about you? Who do you say I am? And it seems as if Jesus is equating this I am to the Son of Man. We're going to continue reading and see how this even applies throughout. So Jesus interchanged the Son of Man for I am. As I said, the expression of Son of Man appears 81 times, 30 times in Matthew, 14 times in Mark, 25 times in Luke, 12 times in John. And in all those times, Jesus uses the reference for himself more than the Son of God. In fact, the Son of Man is a title that was used exclusively by Jesus. His disciples never addressed him as the Son of Man, nor anyone else. They might have said, Son of David, probably. When Jesus mentioned the Son of Man, he mentions it in about three contexts. And we're going to look at those three contexts as we read. So context number one, point number one, his earthly work. In Matthew 11, verse 18, it says, For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say, He has a demon. This is Jesus speaking. In verse 19, The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, Here is a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. But wisdom is proved right by her deeds. And we look at another script here, Luke 9:57. As they were walking along the road, a man said to him, I will follow you wherever you go. Jesus replied, Foxes have dens and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. You know, when Jesus was speaking and using the word Son of Man, again, he was referring to himself. But he was also referring that the Son of Man has earthly qualities. He eats, drinks, he has friends, he talks to people, he limes, he hang out with collectors and sinners. He don't even have a place to sleep. And the Son of Man, Jesus is trying to say, is someone who's right here on earth. While in Daniel, it was referring to some heavenly being, or at least Son of Man referring to heavenly being, Jesus is saying, well, the Son of Man is a human being right here on earth. Someone that we can relate to, someone that we can understand, someone that we can interact with at that point in time. And again, he's referring to himself. You know, when we read these things, we have to remember that Jesus was on this earth. And it was kind of hard for some people to believe that because they really understand that Jesus was probably the Son of God, a heavenly being. But to kind of say a human being, God, human, you know, there was some form of, you know, disbelief. But again, Jesus is showing that the Son of Man has earthly work and he comes here to do things on earth. The second way in which the Son of Man was used was his coming, suffering, death, and resurrection. Mark 14, verse 21. The Son of Man will go just as it is written about him. But woe to that man who betrays the Son of Man. It would be better for him if he had not been born. Another script here, Mark 8:31. He then began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and after 3 days rise again. And one other script here, John 12:34-36 states, The crowd answered him, We have heard from the law that the Messiah remains forever. How can you say that a Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man? So Jesus is also emphasizing that the Son of Man has to suffer, die, and be resurrected. By saying that, it cannot be Jeremiah or any of the prophets as mentioned before. And it has to be someone who's human, such that you have to suffer somehow. Probably starve, probably couldn't get enough sleep, but somehow suffering has to be a part of it. Somehow death has to be a part of it. And the crowd, when Jesus was speaking to the crowd, and he mentions the Son of Man, you know, this was the only part of the Bible where someone else uses the Son of Man, being the crowd. It says, "We have heard from the Lord that the Messiah remains forever. How can you say that the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man?" And they were kind of confused with Jesus, like, what are you talking about? You know, you're saying things that we don't understand. But Jesus came to show that the Son of Man must suffer. The third time he uses the Son of Man in context was about his future coming, his glory, and at final judgment. Matthew 25, verse 31. "When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, he will sit on his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left." Mark 8:38. "If anyone is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of them when he comes in his Father's glory with the holy angels." The Son of Man in the future is real. He will be here to judge, and he will be up in heaven in glory. He will separate the sheep from the goat. The Son of Man has a role when it comes to judgment day. And Jesus is showing that the Son of Man is powerful and has authority to judge. So when we look at the Son of Man, his earthly work, his coming, suffering, death, and resurrection, his future coming, glory, and final judgment, we also have to be aware and be careful that we really pay attention to the Son of Man. Now, we might ask the question, so why does Jesus refer to himself as the Son of Man? And as I mentioned, no one else calls him the Son of Man. He alone only uses the words, the Son of Man. It seems as if Jesus was looking for a messianic title that would not incite the masses to rebellion. He probably used the term from Daniel and the Psalms, which was less, you know, controversial as the Messiah or the Liberator. Furthermore, the term Son of Man emphasizes his essential humanity. The use of the definite article in the Son of Man, and that the word the, is not mentioned anywhere else in the Bible. That is when we look at the Greek. No records of its use is found in any of the surviving Greek documents, only in the Gospels. When Ezekiel and Daniel, the word Son of Man is used, is really saying a Son of Man. But when Jesus uses the words, he's saying the Son of Man. For example, it's like just saying a guy, but Jesus is saying the guy. The man, a man. And in these sources, Son of Man is just a regular expression for man in general. But when Jesus uses the Son of Man, here's the deep part. It serves as an indefinite pronoun, such as I or me. And when we read through the Bible, When Jesus uses it, he uses it as a pronoun, I or me. Now, sometimes he might use it as a he. So when we look at it, and just to give an example, right now in this room, or if I said John, James, and I, in the USA that is three people. And now my name is Gervais. But if I say John, Gervais, and I, you might say, well, it's either three people in the room and someone else's name Gervais, or Gervais made a mistake and called himself twice. The only person who can use the word I is the speaker himself. So, John, James, only I could say me and I, and I cannot say John, Gervais, and I. The I only belongs to the speaker. When Jesus uses the words, the Son of Man, it's like he's saying me or I, not someone else. And hence Jesus could not say the Son of Man. He only could say the Son of Man. Jesus can't say I. He has to say I. An example, if you look at Mark 14, reading from verse 61, it says, and we're going to replace the word I or me here. But Jesus remained silent and gave no answer. Again, the high priest asked him, are you the Messiah, the Son of the Blessed One? He didn't say the Son of Man. He said, are you the Messiah, the Son of the Blessed One? I am, said Jesus, and you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the Mighty One. Let's read it again. Verse 62, I am, said Jesus, and you will see me sitting at the right hand of the Mighty One and coming on the clouds of heaven. And it seems as only when Jesus is speaking, he uses that phrase, me, or the Son of Man, to refer to himself. I'm going back to our scripture that we used probably sometime before. In Luke 9:57, as they were walking along the road, a man said to him, I will follow you wherever you go. But Jesus replied, foxes have dens and birds have nests, but I, or me, have no place to lay his head, or my head. And when Jesus uses it, he's kind of trying to show the Son of Man is referring to me. And that's why only he uses it. So when we look at the phrase, the Son of Man, what it might mean is human being in the Old Testament, when Jesus uses it, he uses it to refer to himself. Now, sometimes it might make it sound like a third person, but by the time it reached, when he was about to die on the cross and on his trial, he started referring to the Son of Man as I. The Son of Man as me. Only the speaker could use the words I and me. So the last scripture in John 35 verse 26, it says, this is after he healed a blind man, and the Pharisees were asking one set of questions to the blind man as to who healed you. And the blind man replied, and they get fed up with him and they throw him out. I'm reading from verse 35. Jesus heard that they had thrown him out, and when he found him, he said, do you believe in the Son of Man? Who is he, sir? The man asked. Tell me so that I may believe in him. Again, that was an early context. But by the time it reached the ending, when Jesus was using the Son of Man, this also could read, do you believe in me? And that's how it ends, with the Son of Man. The Son of Man is Jesus, the Lord, the Savior of this earth. The person that we praise, and he is lifted up, resurrected, suffered, And that phrase, son of man, again, it have different meanings depending on which source it used from. But when Jesus is speaking, he's trying to say the son of man is himself. So, as we come to, you know, the end of this message, I want to reiterate that as you look over the Bible, just look at that phrase, the son of man, it is Jesus. He's the one who power, authority has been given to all. He has all authority. And the question to you is, do you believe in the son of man? Do you believe in Jesus? I pray that you believe, and from these scriptures, you're able to come to have the Son of Man, Jesus Christ, as your Lord and Savior. Amen? So let's go before God in prayer as we close. Heavenly Father, Almighty God, I just thank you for this time. And thank you that we're able to look at the Son of Man, where it's referred to as a me. But Jesus is that Son of Man. And we pray that as we get in the scriptures, that we understand who he is. Allow us, God, to get deeper in the scriptures. And as in the month that we look at Jesus, that we get a better understanding of him. I thank you, God, for this time. And I thank you for all that you have done. Be with us. In Jesus' name. Amen.